WHUR. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
I will not hesitate to take action against ISIL in Syria as well as Iraq. This is a core principle of my presidency. If you threaten America, you will find no safe haven.
That was President Obama last night from the White House. He was laying out his plan for the battle against Islamic terrorist group ISIS. That speech was on the eve of the 13th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. We're talking about both issues tonight with Howard University political science professor Dr. Michael Fauntroy and Kevin Martin, political commentator with Project21.org. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. I want to remind you, we have a shortened program tonight. We're not on SiriusXM because of technical upgrades in house. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Dr. Fauntroy, I'll talk to you first. What do you think about the president's speech last night? Did he hit all of the important points? Did he leave anything out?
Well, I think he hit all of the important points, but we also have to view the speech within the context of what's going on both domestically and internationally. While the speech was ostensibly about ISIS, it was just as much about the elections that are going to be taking place in just 8 weeks, you know. And so there was domestic parts of, in that speech, particularly at the end. You may recall him talking about the economy. He sort of pivoted and started talking about the economy and jobs and that sort of thing. So that's, to me, a nod that while he is talking about something that has very big international implications, that he was doing so being mindful that there's also a big domestic component of this as well. And so in that regard, I think he checked all of the boxes. I think he allayed some concerns that some people may have had. You may have heard today House Speaker John Boehner came out and forcefully talked about his support for the president on this issue, and that there's a bit of a split among some Republicans, although I think most are beginning to line up behind the president.
Kevin?
I think last night he basically tried to lay out a strategy. It's a strategy that has not worked in the past, and we're talking about arming these quote-unquote moderates within Syria. When we did it the first time, ISIL broke off from all of them and then took it upon themselves to rampage through Syria and Iraq. And now we're talking about going back and rearming the same people again. And not only that, there are reports that the so-called moderates in Syria handed over the last American who was beheaded to ISIS so he could be beheaded. Yeah. So there's a lot of confusion, a lot of murkiness. How do we arm somebody who in reality is handing over Americans to a terror group?
Well, let me say this too, because you know, while you're looking at it from that perspective, from a domestic point of view, when you talk about how Americans feel about this, I was watching, you know, CNN after the speech last night, and they took a poll, and they were saying on one hand, you know, Americans are supporting this, you know, anti-terror position by the president. But on the other hand, those same folks are not ready to send American troops, advising or otherwise, back to this
the
very dangerous situation.
Therein lies the problem. Either you're going to send your own servicemen and women there to do the job, or you're going to have to deal with people who you may not be particularly excited about. And that's where we are. So I don't think that the president really has much of an alternative, because the American people are not going to tolerate sending substantial numbers or even small numbers of servicemen and women to actually fight on the ground. I mean, they're uncomfortable with this idea of being sort of advisors. Or
yeah, that 475 yeah, I mean, that he plans on sending.
People are uncomfortable with that, so they're certainly not going to be supportive.
And that's going to bring close to 1,000 advisors we have in Iraq right now, because there are already almost 500 there right now.
Yeah,
and then, of course, there's special forces, which no one knows anything about.
People of a certain age understand the word advisor is problematic. Mm,
that's right. Yeah. We saw that in Vietnam. Exactly.
They were advisors. And the next
it started
thing, you know,
out with Eisenhower, then it went to Kennedy, and then it went on to LBJ, which became troops.
So people are right to be concerned, but the reality is there really isn't much of an alternative.
And speaking about the terrorist group ISIS, and we've seen, you know, the execution of two journalists, the beheading, the murder of these two journalists recently by ISIS. But people have a tendency to forget, and we must remind them that Daniel Pearl was also a journalist. He was executed, murdered the same way, beheaded in 2002, but it was done by al-Qaeda. Who is to say that Daniel Pearl's murderers, called al-Qaeda, are not the same guys that murdered these last two journalists by another name?
But you're right about that. You're right. This whole ISIS started out as part of al-Qaeda. These people felt that al-Qaeda was not violent enough, so they called themselves ISIS. It is the Islamic State of Syria and Lebanon. Lebanon does not include Israel. They don't say Iraq. We say Iraq. They were so violent that al-Qaeda said, oh, whoa, wait a minute. Even you guys are a little too violent for us.
Mm-hmm.
And they split off. But the problem is that the most violent of them joined ISIS. And now they have basically ran through parts of Syria and Iraq, have over $500 million in the bank to conduct operations. And their whole thing is to draw us into this Islamic caliphate that they say exists in that part of the world, because they believe this is one of the pillars that is going to return Muhammad to earth.
Now, a report just came down some 5 minutes ago that the CIA is now saying that there are at least perhaps 20,000 members of ISIS, perhaps as many as 30,000 of them in Iraq and in Syria. This thing continues to grow, and it continues to get nasty. But I want to ask you, Dr. Fauntroy, from the domestic position here, with all of this stuff going on, where do you think Americans stand? Do they feel safer? Or is there a great deal of consternation now? That speech came on the eve of this September 11th anniversary, and I must say, listening to this speech, I found it extremely sobering.
Well, sobering is a really useful word to describe it all. But you know, we've been on pins and needles in one way or another since September 11th of 2001. You know, reality just says that when you look at the way it has changed our domestic politics and how it has put foreign policy much closer to the center of our dialogue, you know, things ebb and flow, and there's periods of less attention public-wise than general. But the reality is terrorism, the war on terrorism, Islamic caliphate, however you want to describe it, all of that plays a much bigger role in domestic politics than ever before. And so that means that we don't get a chance to really ask questions like, well, wait a second, the drones are costing $7.5 million a day. And how many drones are we going to need to do what's necessary to tamp down and destroy ISIS? And for every dollar that's spent on a drone is a dollar that can't be spent on a tax cut or an education program or whatever the domestic policy concern is. And so I think the question that most Americans are going to have to wrestle with is, how much am I willing to give up for my own safety and peace of mind?
I want to talk about that after the break. We are remembering 9/11 some 13 years later, and also talking about the president's speech last night on ISIS in this truncated edition of the Daily Drum. Of course, we are having technical upgrades. We are ending tonight at 7:30, but you still have an opportunity to comment at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR. I'm Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. We are talking about President Obama's speech on the Islamic terrorist group ISIS, and we are talking about the September 11th attack some 13 years later. Let me quickly go to the phone line. Sarah calling from Sterling, Virginia. Quickly, what's on your mind?
First of all, I'm Muslim, and Muslims do not believe that Muhammad will be back. Second of all, what's going on around the world in Muslim countries is a revolution. It's a civil war amongst different sects of Muslims.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
And that needs to be clear. We're talking to people in America about things that we understand that we believe as Americans, but as non-Americans, they don't have the same concept.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think that you make an excellent point, because, you know, a holistic education.
Yes.
About the intricacies of the Middle East, the Muslim world, as you mentioned, sex, a critical piece of information for Americans. But with that said, and this goes back to the point that I was making before the break, Sarah, and I'll ask my guests here, what does this, because we don't know, because Americans do not always have, you know, that foundational information about the intimacies of what's going on the other side of the world, are we headed for another situation that we saw in World War II? Are we talking about xenophobia spreading again, as we saw a lot of that after 9/11, where somebody, if they have a turban, if they have a long beard, if a woman is wearing a burqa and you don't, as an American, are you going to give them the side eye? Your thoughts about that?
Well, I think there's no question that's part of the human condition. We do not, you know, we don't necessarily like that which we do not understand.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so if that's the case, then we'll be right back to where we were, in part because there's been no real growth in our understanding of that part of the world. Most of us don't know the difference between a Sunni or a Shia,
mm-hmm.
you know, and don't know that there are large swaths of people in that part of the world who reject terrorism, who do not want to see these kinds of groups succeed. And until we get that fixed, we will always run the risk of the sort of xenophobic feelings that are all too prevalent in the Western world.
Kevin.
And the professor's absolutely right. This is of people who have taken different sects who've taken their ideal of Islam and tell us what's going to happen with it, whether it be Sunni, whether it be Persian, whether it be Shia, whether it be Bedouism. They all have their own individual beliefs in how Islam is supposed to be interpreted and how it's supposed to be practiced. And what we're seeing out of this group ISIS is a more, what they say, a more strict interpretation of Islam. And for Americans, we don't understand that, because a lot of us don't understand it, because either we're Christian, Jew, some of us are Islam, Muslim, but we have a diversity in our country, so it makes it hard for us to understand that.
Mm-hmm. And Sarah, thank you so much for bringing that point to us, some bit of clarity. Very, very quickly, Philip, you've got 20 seconds. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. How you doing? My name is Phil. I'm calling from Upper Marlboro. I visited Jerusalem a few years back, and my tour guide said something that I heard someone touch on earlier. And in that, he says Americans don't understand the nature of the battles that are taking place over there currently.
Which is what we were just talking about, Philip. And I think that's a good point to end on. Of course, as you know, we are having a truncated program because of technical upgrades here. But I wanted to thank my guests, Dr. Michael Fauntroy from Howard University, and also political commentator Kevin Martin with Project21.org. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, September 11th. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.